Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Life Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I am your host, Evans Zininga. And today on Life Talk, we are discussing the economic hardships in Zimbabwe with the retail and banking sectors closing branches and cutting down number of employees. Last week, President Emmerson Mnangagwa cut his annual leave short so that he could chair an urgent meeting with senior government officials to address the deteriorating situation in the country. Zimbabwe's retail sector has so far this year cut more than 1,000 jobs, and the major bank, Commercial Bank of Zimbabwe, CBZ, has retrenched 400 workers, replacing them with artificial intelligence as a cost-cutting measure. Meanwhile, the central bank governor, Mr. John Mushayabanu, issued the 2025 monetary policy statement, saying it came at a time when the economy is experiencing relative inflation and exchange rate stability. As stability, the central bank says it reflects its tight monetary policy stance, which it has maintained during the last quarter of 2024. Following the upward review of its policy rate and statutory reserve requirements. For those that have just joined us, please note we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Now, joining us for our discussion is, We were hoping to get someone from the Reserve Bank on the show. Unfortunately, they are still trying to get them. But we've got another economist based in UK from the Africa Center for Economic Justice, Miss Chennai Moyo Mutambasere. She is already to roll. And we also have Mr. Payama is on the show as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I know for Mr. Payama, this came as a surprise. We were looking forward to getting another person as well to the show. But hey, we are glad you are here, because everything banking in Zimbabwe and economy falls in your lap, and we appreciate you coming. I will start with, let's start with you, Chennai Mutambasere. We know very well how much you're passionate about these economic issues in Zimbabwe. Let's bring you and throw you your first question.
Sure.
What do you think about the situation in Zimbabwe, looking at everything that's been going on? Retailers closing down, bankers cutting down on employers, on employees, and things not just working out right. What's your take on what is happening today in this economic sector?
I think it's evidence, really, of the defunct economic policy, whether it's the fiscal policy or the monetary policy that we have had in Zimbabwe for a very long time now. And it's unfortunate that in spite of this, you know, the reality on the ground speaks for itself. You know, the economy is like a bad smell. You know, you can't hide from it. It speaks for itself. And for the monetary policy statement to be released and for it to be seemingly presenting a good news picture of economic stability. And, you know, it's really quite unfortunate that we continue to see important documents, important policy communications such as the MPS being used really to peddle propaganda and not to address the economic issues head on. You know, so that is my first submission to this discussion, which is that the policymakers really need to lay on the ground and be honest and transparent, because the economy, like I say, is speaking for itself. It is no coincidence that, you know, supermarkets are exiting, the big businesses that we've known to really be holding, propping up Zimbabwe in terms of employment, propping up Zimbabwe in terms of the provision of goods and services, actually exiting the market. There are no businesses are there. They are rent seekers. They are there to make a profit. There are no businesses that will exit a thriving market. They will not exit an economy that is growing positively. Neither will they exit a place where there's economic stability. So that would be the first thing that I would say is when we are faced with an opportunity such as the Reserve Bank has of presenting the state of affairs from a monetary perspective, then really they ought to produce more honest documents that that present the prevailing circumstances of the economy.
Mm-hmm. Let's hold it right there and bring on Mr. Payama. Now, Mr. Payama, with your interest in the banking sector and your interest in entrepreneurship in general, what do you see in the current situation in Zimbabwe today?
You must talk in a more current.
Mr. Payama is breaking. Can you hear me?
Hello?
I think... let's try one more time. I think we've got bad network. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ah, okay, perfect. Let's roll with it. We had just thrown a question at you. Did you hear the question?
Yes.
Awesome. Please take it away.
The problem we have is that we are still using temporary measures since 2009. We thought by now is our own current. So that's number one. Number two, policy inconsistent in monetary policy that we are creating in Zimbabwe. Number three, the tax regime is too high. Every day we are introducing tax. We are introducing tax as a measure. Then number four, we are expensing more than we are supposed to do. So at the end of the day, if we can eat an elephant when we have hunted a rat. That's the problem we are having as a government of Zimbabwe. So as people and as the government, we are supposed to work together. But there's one man who is creating policies that affect millions of people. So we ended up with that policies not working at all. Create the money, artificial money, there is gold in it. The next day, there is no gold in it. Tomorrow, we create a bond. We want to create another bond, which is more spacious than before. All these issues, they are affecting us as a business. We don't know where to go. And if you want to invest, we no longer have the confidence in our own environment. The environment is not conducive for us to operate with this kind of behavior. So I think our government should work with people, should work with business, understand what the business wants. We are supposed to enjoy and extend the money they reap from us. But they are taking capital from us. They are not taking what is due for them. That is what is happening. So at the end of the day, that's why they ended up raising shops, ended up raising our businesses because the tax bracket is too much.
Okay. You raise very interesting points there, Vapeyama. Let me come back to Ms. Mutambasere. You've heard the sentiments from Mr. Payama there, being someone who is heavily involved in business on the ground in Zimbabwe. Very touching nuggets there. Now, I would like you to come in and look at this situation now where bankers are shutting down. Banks are laying off people. For example, It's public knowledge. We've had these numbers. 400 people already in just one bank, CBZ. and they are replacing people, in quotes, with artificial intelligence. And I would like you to come in there and give us a picture of what you see, Zimbabwe banks replacing employees with artificial intelligence. Are we ready for this?
Okay, so that's a very interesting take. And I would like also to be able to make reference to the monetary policy statement. But to answer your question directly in terms of the CBZ and laying off people and replacing with AI, I mean, this is ridiculous. Artificial intelligence, in the first instance, one of its key critical dependencies is the availability of electricity. It does use up a lot of energy. So if you are saying that a whole institution is now looking to continue to operate at the same level and replace human intervention with artificial intelligence, then I think there's something very fallacious about that. I don't believe that Zimbabwe is in a place to be able to start doing that yet. I mean, because what also precedes a strategy around AI is a lot of data mining, a lot of, you know, what we call the input layer in technology, and being able to ensure that that data exists before you can even start to implore a fully automated and AI-driven business processes, and that does not exist in Zimbabwe right now. I think even the monetary policy statement, it is highlighting that there is some interest in AI, but as far as the central bank has said, that there aren't any processes at the moment that banks specifically are using that are fully driven by AI capabilities. And, you know, I would be very surprised if that truly was the case. But instead, if we look at the monetary policy statement, we will notice that there's a lot of contradictions. For instance, it talks about having a tight monetary policy stance, which is backed, which they have implemented very high statutory reserves. I think that's around 30%. So this is actually making banks, ensuring that banks are reserving 30% of their deposits and depositing these with the central bank. Equally, they also have very high interest rates. I think around 35% is the policy rate now. And what they've said is that the central bank are saying that we want to be able to have a tight monetary policy. But how does this translate into day-to-day banking? It means that there's less people actually applying for lending because it's just too expensive to borrow, as well as the fact that there's that high requirements of 30% statutory reserves. Now, interestingly enough, the central bank, they recognize the impact of this on their liquidity. And what they've done is instead of adjusting those reserve requirements and adjusting the policy rates, they have introduced a new facility, which is known as the trade finance facility. And I'm really struggling to understand why, you know, if you're saying that your policy rates are not working and your reserve rates are not working, the logical thing to do would be to adjust these two so that banks can operate as lenders and so on. But instead, they've resorted to introducing this trade finance facility, which allows the central bank to actually disburse to what they're calling productive sectors. We don't know what is the productive sector. Who is being given these disbursements? Are they paying any interest rates on them? So it's that, and then they're then making the claim that the trade finance facility is going to allow for better liquidity in the economy. But seriously, you know, we're not introducing any new money in the economy. What essentially they're doing is saying to the banks, deposit 30% of your deposits to us as statutory reserves. And from there, we will also take the money and issue out trade loan facility. We are seeing, again, the RBZ being involved in what we call quasi-fiscal activity. Really, they should be leaving things like lending to the retail banks. That's what the retail banks exist to do. So, you know, I would question that policy stance in terms of the TFF. It does provide, again, an opportunity for some of the nefarious activities that we have seen coming out of the RBZ in the past. And again,
Lanzads, you are a preacher in this ministry. If I don't stop you, you will not stop. Let's hold it there for a second. We will come back to you. Tipeo vapeyama mkana. Ndirikuda kuti vapeyama muuye mutibatsire pane mubvunzo wandina upana apa iko zvino wekuti imo munyika macho parizvino. Ndichitarisa kuti munoita business every day, rinotengesa, rinotenga.
Yes.
Mari yacho iri kutenderera here, muri kuiona here, iri kutobatika here, zigi racho riri kutobatika kudai.
Hurumende tine dambudziko diki-diki nayo kana kuti hombe rekuti inovakaintrodusa mari zvino vakaona mari iyaya vakaona seakudonha senge vachiteza zvinenge zvichiitika kumusika mutema kune kunotaura redu chare chare rechokwadi vanobva vambomira kubhadhara zvikwereti zvavo kumisa kwavanoita kubhadhara zvikwereti zvavanenge vaita zviya kuri kubva kwakonzeresa kuti mari isatenderere munyika saka ndeko saka muchiona kunge zigirinenzi rakasimba kana kuti iri 1:83 inyaya yekuti ino hurumende pachayo haisi kubhadhara zvikwereti zvayo ikabhadhara zvikwereti zvayo zvayakapa vanhu matenda vakasupply munozoona kuti zveshuwa shuwa vhiki haisi chinhu kana tichitarisa panyaya dzemari kuti tikwanise kusvika kumaus dollars hazvirikene kuda kwokuti imari ine huru yatisingagadzire sevanhu vemuzimbabwe saka tigoni kuikondrora kuti ive neuremu hwavatipfuura uremu hwevakaigadzira saka muchizoona kuti dzimwe mari idzi dzekune dzimwe nzvimbo dzekune dzimwe nyika dzisiri dzedu dzinoramba dzakasimba saka hurumende yedu yobva yabhoka nekuda kwemitemo yavenenge vadini vagadzira asi vachinozofungira vamwe vacho pakugadzira kwavanoita vanenge vachifunga kuti vari kupanicha asina simba asi asina simba uyo anozvoratidza ndine simba kana papanyaya dzekuti pakuda kuti mari ya ichitenderera ichidzokoni kwavari saka munhu akaisa poizoni anomudyaidza saka vamutumbi vari kuisa poizoni munyika kuintrodusa mari dzisingashandi vanhu vezimbabwe vanongotora mari isingashandiya voidzorera kuna vamuturi vayo vamuturi vobva vazvimbirwa manje adambudziko ratiitica sei
pane basa apa muri kutaura nyaya dzakakura both of you regai timbotora befu zvishoma we'll take a little break and we'll continue after this and let's see a little bit of what is happening here in the US. The Border Patrol agents are detaining undocumented migrants as part of President Donald Trump's crackdown on illegal immigration. Many of those have been arrested and they've been in California, where one city is trying to break with the state and cooperate with federal immigration agencies. Genia Dulo reports from Huntington Beach.
California is a state that limits local police cooperation with federal immigration enforcement, barring them from acting as immigration agents or making arrests solely on civil immigration violations. Within this so-called sanctuary state, the city of Huntington Beach has declared itself a non-sanctuary city for illegal immigration for the prevention of crime.
If an undocumented person commits some kind of crime, especially heinous crime, I want them removed. I want us to have every level of law enforcement to keep our community as safe as possible. And if you take that link out, that level of law enforcement out, we might be releasing somebody who we don't want back into our community.
My Doe is with the Harbor Institute, which provides research and policy support to local pro-immigrant organizations. She says there is no evidence that sanctuary cities are less safe.
Study after study has proven that sanctuary cities not only don't increase crime, they actually reduce crime. And so for Huntington Beach politicians to be invested in trying to promote this anti-sanctuary policy actually shows that they're not invested in promoting public safety.
Local restaurant owner Charlie Zabla backs Huntington Beach being a non-sanctuary city.
By crossing the borders and coming here illegally, you already committed a crime. You broke the law. And that's not acceptable. I came here the legal way. I did the right thing right. I waited in line. I paid my dues. It took me 12 years to become a citizen.
Unlawful presence in the U.S. is a civil violation, not a criminal offense. Illegal entry is a misdemeanor. Re-entering the country illegally after being removed is a felony, punishable by up to 2 years in prison. President Donald Trump's executive order called protecting the American people against invasion would deny federal funds to all sanctuary jurisdictions. It is not yet clear what federal funds would be cut to which jurisdictions, including California. Making itself a non-sanctuary city is a largely symbolic move for Huntington Beach, since they don't control local law enforcement, says University of California, Irvine law professor Annie Lai.
Declaration by the city is going to have limited impact because the cities don't have their own jails. Generally, the entity that controls the jails is the Orange County Sheriff's Department. That's a different decision maker.
When California enacted its sanctuary law in 2017, the first Trump administration argued in court that it interfered with immigration authorities enforcing federal law. A circuit court of appeals ruled for the state, and the U.S. Supreme Court declined to review the case. Jenny Adulo, VOA News, Huntington Beach.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Now, going back to our discussion, let's bring you back, Ms. Mutambasere. Now, the engagement in Europe in general, artificial intelligence, in the financial sector. How is it coming along, and are there any lessons Zimbabwe can learn today before it becomes a thing to everyone?
Well, like I said, critically, it does use up a lot of energy. So the first thing to do would be to address our energy demand versus supply situation that we have in Zimbabwe. We cannot start to use AI fully with the current situation that we have in terms of energy. The second thing is AI relies very much on the what we call the input layer, so the data that exists within the system. So what sort of data are we already collecting, if it's data to do with customers, data that can then be used to generate the intelligence. So what data have we been collecting? And really another, this then raises another gap in terms of our ICT strategy, which is the adoption of digitalization. You will find that in a lot of rural areas, because of the first barrier, which is electricity, the second barrier being economic factors, most people will not have the use of, say, a smartphone regularly. So to be able for banks to then drive forward a digital first strategy that can then be converted into an AI strategy, we need to have more digital adoption, especially in the rural areas. So these, to me, would be critical success factors that we have not yet seen that need to be improved upon, so that we can actually start to generate, to use the generative intelligence because of the data that we hold on customers, the data that we hold on just general business processes.
Allow me to chip in again there. Muri kutaura chirungu chakakura stereke chakawanda pane muteereri ari pa phone. Batai makadaro tinzwe mubvunzo wavari kuda kukanda pamwe unoda mhinduro yenyu. Alo kola, muripo here?
Tinofara makadini.
Tinosimba. Ndiani wangu uyu, muri kupi?
Desire Chiwezi, ndiri pa Boston.
Taurai zvenyu, pfungwa yenyu baba.
Ndaona chirongwa ichi kweshe yamakanda yamatenda bata muchidaro. Because middle of the economy in Zimbabwe, the Sangasa would be my big shops is now Abu Bara. The Lona Kinu Konzera Zuzagadaro, the Mugata, which the economy in Zimbabwe is my mind. Even to the Zaranian, the both that is my big shops are at Sana, okay, you are now on a team, on a TCC, no, my big shops are in Zimbabwe. I'm going to Kundikana.
nekunga achishanda mukati menyika yezimbabwe ndokuratidza kuti ikonomi yezimbabwe iri kudzika zvisingaiti ende chinokonzera kuti idziki inhau yehuori huri kuitwa mukati menyika yacho kusanganisira kubva kuvakuru vacho zvichidzika nenhaya yekuti patinoonawo rubatsiro rwobva kune dzimwe nyika pakati tabatsirwa nemari mari yacho haisi kwanisa kuzongosvika kuti izobatsire vanhu yakutanga yambodyiwa nevanoidya
Mataura mashoko akakura apo. Tinokutendai nekupinda muchirongwa. Murambe muchidzoka zvina mangwana. Tigoramba tichinzwa dzedzimwe pfungwa dzenyu. Maita basa chaizvo.
Ndatenda.
Thank you so much. Vapeyama, manzwa here mutauri abva pamhepo izvezvuyo. Ari kutaura nyaya pane mavara abata ataura nyaya yecorruption. Enda abata nyaya yemari yamambobata kumashure uko. Vashandi vamuinavo iko zvino mumabhizinesi umu necorruption iri kuparidzwa iyi nevakuru vakuru varimo munyaya dzemabhizinesi idzi chimbotitsanangurira zvizvi zviri kumbonyatsoitika munyika nenyaya yecorruption iri kutaurwa
munoziva vanhu vanongo tinotaura idini yecorruption asi corruption hombe ndeyekuchairwa kwemari zvinoita kuti vanhu vapesire vaakuti even kuti iye abhadharwe basa rake raanenge akaita apesire yaakuona kuti raakutoda futi kuti uite hori kuti basa rako rawakaita kuti ukwanise kubhadhara nenyaya yekuti mari yacho inenge isipo chiri kuita kuti mari isarepo ndo chatiri kuti ngatigadzirisei senyika tinogona kubvisa hori zvakanakisa chose kune dzinyika dzakabudirira dziri kutaurwa kuna sisi wangu kuri kwazvoinonzi chiai iyo inyika dzekuti vanoshanda vane zvikwanisiro zvakafanana nemagesi zvikwanisiro zvakafanana nekutenga makombyuta ane chekuita nechimanjimanji zvino munomu pese pese patiri hatina magesi hatizvenguva yaanouya hatigone kuva vanhu vanopulana kuti bhizinesi redu titaritanga nguva yakati nekuda kwekuti magesi aripo zvino kushandisa majenareta kureva kuti makosti atinotabuta bhizinesi aakuita times two saka kosti yekuita bhizinesi muzimbabwe inobva yanyanyisa kuti tichakwanise kumhanyidzana nevamwe vakatikomberedzwa mune dzimwe nyika kana kuti kuexporta tikwanise kuexporta kune dzimwe nyika nekuti maproducts anenge achigadzirwa muzimbabwe anenge achidhurisisa saka maona kuti vazhinji vakunyanya kutemba nekunohodza zvinhu zvakashandwa kare nevamwe nekuti kuti isisi tiite bhizinesi haticharikwanisa nekuda kuti zvese zvatinoda kushandisa zvinotidhuira
hei ya pane basa up I wish we had more time to talk about these issues in closing Miss Mutambasere your last words mashoko mapfupi pfupi in closing what will you leave Zimbabwe with today
What I want to say, I want to make an appeal to the policymakers to say that, you know, our country, they are destroying them through the policies that they're making. They are destroying our country. We have heard time and time again, even their bad activities like the willing buyer, willing seller auction, which was really introduced by the previous governor. And economists and other experts, including the IMF, have said that this is being used to introduce arbitrage and market distortions. Mm-hmm. And yet, up to now, so many years later, nothing has changed. So we really want to see, at the moment, we are not seeing policymakers that are intent on doing the right thing for Zimbabwe and its people. And that's what I would really want to appeal to them to say, let's revisit these policies. Let's retain the focus on what is good for the country rather than what is good for individuals.
All right. Thank you very much. This brings us to the end of our show today. I would love to thank our guests one more time. Our economist in the UK from the Africa Center for Economic Justice, Ms. Chennai Moyo Mutambasere, and Mr. Wellington Peyama, Bakers Association of Zimbabwean Entrepreneur, the We appreciate you and everybody else for being on the show. Signing off in Washington, I am Evans Zininga.